Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio. Brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com. Now, here's your host.
Lee Cantor here, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and this is going to be a fun one. And remember, though, we couldn't be sharing these stories without the help of our sponsor, OnPay. So please support them so we can continue to share these stories. Today on Atlanta Business Radio, we have Melissa Loggins, and she is with Music Authority. Welcome, Melissa.
Good afternoon.
So, Melissa, tell us about Music Authority. How are you serving folks?
We are a full-line retail store that covers combo instruments, so guitars, drums, amplifiers, things like that. We also do repairs on both guitars and amplifiers, and our biggest piece that we do is our music education program. Normally, we're seeing 650 students per week here, which is a huge, huge group of students that we see doing private lessons and group lessons and rock bands and things like that.
And then, so you do a lot of lessons. Do you do also like camps and things like that during the summer or maybe after school?
Yeah, we do summer camps. Our summer camps run June and July. We do a rock camp. We do a rock camp junior. We do an adult rock camp. So if you're a grown-up and want to live the dream for a couple of weekends during the summer, we do that. We have songwriting camps. We have Broadway camps. We kind of cover everything we can in contemporary style music for the Forsyth and Atlanta area.
Now, how'd you get into this line of work?
I was a ballerina when I was little, and I always wanted to have a performing arts school. I went to college and studied music education to start, and figured out about the beginning of my senior year that I was not cut out to teach in the school systems. I have a huge respect for my friends who are teachers in the school systems, but that was way too structured for me. So I started down a path with a music store, and then eventually was able to buy this one that we have now. About 2 years after it opened, my husband and I purchased it, and we took the idea of a local music store and really built the music school, performing school, around that store.
So that was part of the plan at the beginning? Like, you always had the vision of, you know what, it would be great to evolve into this kind of more experiential kind of community building initiative?
It was not initially the plan. Initially, we did it the way that most stores do, which is we ran a retail store and teachers would rent space from us. And we opened in 2002. And in 2007, we realized that we needed to make changes to the way we operated in order to better serve our customers and to create longevity. Because at the time, students had a retention of about 3 months and then they would drop off and go to something else. So we called colleges all over the country that had good music programs and said, what are you looking for in a student? And we discovered performance was a big deal. So we started to build this program based on the feedback in 2007. And we did this huge transition over to what we do today.
And then, but your vision, once you said, okay, we're going to start doing this kind of education in this way, did you kind of have false starts, or is it kind of growing in the manner that you initially envisioned?
Honestly, it's grown so much bigger than we initially imagined. It kind of took on a life of its own once we got started. Initially, our thought process was we just wanted to create students that were collegiate ready if they were going to study music. And that developed into huge programming. We will have anywhere in normal times, this is not a normal time because of COVID, but in normal times, we have anywhere from 5 to 15 concerts a month here. And that was never, ever part of the plan. My goal initially was to have 6 a year. So we're doing that each month now. But once the community got behind this idea of music, it really just grew on its own. We also very consciously decided to create a community within our parents. So we have a parents organization called the Music Authority Roadies. We do service projects. We serve the community. We raise money for local organizations. We raise products, or not products, we like for, we'll do food drives. That's what I'm trying to think of, right? The right word is, but we'll do food drives and things like that. And by giving back to the community, parents get invested into what we're doing. So my husband jokes around and says, we're the Church of Rock and Roll, because we really do fellowship with our families. And that was not really part of the plan, but it just happened very organically.
So now, any advice for other maybe retail stores out there that maybe aren't seeing kind of what's possible, that they might put themselves in too small of a box? It sounds like you've really kind of stumbled upon something here that's really powerful and that other people can really learn from, in terms of we're bigger than what we sell. You know, it's almost like you said, it's a church now. It's beyond just selling someone a guitar or teaching someone how to play the guitar. It's much larger than that. How did you kind of initially get the community involved? What are some of the things you did to kind of nurture the community in the manner you have?
I have a background in community service. I worked with Girl Scouts. I've worked with CASA Forsyth County, and I believe very strongly in giving back to the community. So initially it started out where we would do product drives, like, you know, the Humane Society needs cat litter, so drop off some cat litter and we'll give you a discount on what your purchase is, or a discount on your lessons. And we started to notice that certain aspects people would get really excited behind. We do a drive every fall called Any Soldier, where we package boxes and send them to military stationed overseas for the holidays. People get really passionate about that. So when we noticed that, we said, you know what, we can utilize this and do better. Like, instead of sending 12 boxes, we can send 78 boxes. That's what we sent last year. 78 boxes to military was an incredible amount. But it's finding where the people in your community are passionate. And it's about more than, like, I could sell a guitar to somebody and they could walk out the door and I could never care about them again. But because we continue that contact, they become invested in what we're doing.
But even in the terms of the language you're using, like Music Authority Roadies, and like you have an alumni section, like you're creating and fostering, they're all part of the family. They're not separate. This isn't a transaction. This is a relationship that has depth. You did that intentionally, obviously, but how did you have some kind of super fans early on that helped really get this thing going, or was it all on the backs of you and your husband?
It was, for a long time, it was on the backs of me and my husband. And then maybe 7 or 8 years ago, we started to get the right people that came in. I'm a big proponent of when the student is ready, the teacher will arrive. But we had some teachers show up that helped us visualize. And like, our brand is Music Authority Family. If you look at anything in our social media, you should see that. But Music Authority Family is our brand. And that was just an off-the-cuff thought one morning before summer camp one day. We said, hey, let's start hashtagging Music Authority Family. And by the end of that week, we had families that had so bought into that they're sending me emails about, we need t-shirts and we need this, or we need that, or we need stickers, or we need bumper stickers or magnets that say Music Authority Family, because it is very much a family atmosphere. And when you sign up for lessons with us, or you buy a guitar, my staff will say at the end of the transaction, welcome to the family, we're glad you're here. Because we try to treat everybody like family. And that was very conscious. And when we started that process, it was a conscious decision that that's how we want you to feel. And we have a core of customers, like any business. There's a core of customers that keep this moving forward and help us. With 650 students, I can't physically touch every single parent. It's not possible. So when we have this board, or when we have these sort of super parents who are super duper cheerleaders for us, they're out there talking to other families saying, hey, this is a great place for your kids to get involved. This is where you should buy your guitar. This is why. This is my experience.
So now, what kind of changes did you have to implement since COVID? You mentioned this is a new normal. But at some point, you know, new normal just becomes normal. What are some of the things you're doing differently now?
Right now, we're in the process of installing clear barriers in all of our studios. so that our teachers can come back and teach here in person. We did go virtual for the last couple of months, and we are slowly phasing everybody back into studio. So we are absolutely making sure that everything is as safe as possible. We pretty much on a weekly basis talk to the CDC and EPA and the administration here in the county and the Georgia Department of Health to make sure that we're staying up to date on the most recent information and not just trusting what we see out there. We're actually making the phone calls. We did throughout the whole closure, we stayed in touch with our customers as much as possible. And a lot of them were calling and saying, what can we do to help you? And I would say, hey, you know that guitar you've been looking at for like the last 3 months and you just didn't want to pull the trigger? How about pulling the trigger? Because that would really help. So our sales didn't drop nearly what a lot of other businesses did when it was all said and done, because we had that relationship. That Music Authority family is what really kept us alive.
So now, how are you handling kind of the upcoming summer with camps and kids and things like that, where you probably had a lot of people are going to be there physically? Is it possible to do that, or you have to move it all virtually?
All of our camps are going to be in person on site. We did cancel one, and we moved one from June to July to give us time to sort of prepare better for what we needed. And all we're doing differently is we're taking each individual camp and looking at how we normally run it and how does that fit into what our current standards are, our current guidelines are, and making adjustments as necessary. So if you come to Rock Camp this year, for example, we'll fit 40 kids into one room and have a really good time. We can't do that this year. So it'll look a little different this year than it did last year, but we're still holding the camp. We're just being really creative into how can we create those interactions? How can we create those relationships? How can we create that music and still make sure everybody's safe?
Now, has this impacted kind of the adult stuff that you're doing?
Ironically, our adult camp sold out, and we have more students in that camp than I expected. I think for adults, they're looking for an outlet to get away from the stress of the everyday right now. So our adult lessons are up. Our adult camp is completely full and booked. Adults are way more engaged right now than our younger students are.
Now, the people that come to you, I would imagine it's the full range. You have people that are just beginners that have never done this but dreamed of doing this, and then all the way to pretty advanced folks. Is that true?
Yes. Most of our adults are, this is something I've always thought I wanted to do, and either I didn't have the time when I was younger, or my mom forced me to play piano and really I wanted to be in a rock band and play guitar. And so they're fulfilling those dreams. Some adults come to us because it's therapy. It's a weekly dose of just music therapy from whatever's going on in their life. With the younger kids, we see them from the very, very basic beginner. I mean, we have students as young as 4. And then all the way into really advanced students that will leave here and go and study music or even play professionally.
Now, so do you help them, kind of live that dream so they can progress and then record music and share music, distribute it, and help them get that? Like, does the learning end at the, at the lesson, or does it go beyond, like, to the business of music and things like that?
If that's what you want to do, if you have an interest in pursuing this further, we do have classes. We have rock bands. We have the varsity, and the junior varsity is how we call it. So our junior rock bands meet for 4 or 5 months, and they work on how to promote themselves through social media. They play out and about in local venues. They work on how do we advertise ourselves, how do we dress properly. Then our varsity level bands meet for a year. We have 2 of them. We have Music Authorities Eclipse and Music Authorities Beyond. They're an audition band, and they're a lot more intense. I don't touch their social media. They run it completely on their own with no assistance. They are completely responsible for making sure that people get to their gigs. They worry about loading in and loading out, making sure that they have the gear. At some point, we talk to them about how do you book gigs? How do you talk to sound production? How do you do all of those things? So we talk them through the whole business side. And then at some point when they get to the point that they're able to do this, they will write their own music. So Eclipse right now is writing a lot of music. That's what they've been doing for the last 2 months. And we will get them into the studio to record their original songs and have that experience as well. And that's always fun to watch because every studio engineer is different. So Eclipse has done this 3 times now with 3 different engineers. And each time they come back and they're like, that was so different from the last time. And I said, yeah, that's why you have to shop your engineers when you're doing this on your own. So we do the full gamut. And then once you graduate or you become a quote alumni, we're a resource for you. So we have occasionally people will call up and say, hey, I'm looking for a drummer. And I'm going to go down my list of alumni and say, hey, this guy's really good and he lives in your area. Give him a call. Or if, you know, I've had singer-songwriters come back to me, you know, they've gone to college or they've gone out into the world and they come back and they're like, I'm just really struggling. And so we'll do some work with them to help them get a little more solid. Like, what are you struggling with? Is it vocal? Is it the length of time that you're singing? Are you having trouble writing music? So we try to maintain those relationships and give them as much help as possible, even after they're gone.
Now, do you ever have kind of celebrities come in to give them the good, the bad, the ugly of what life is like as a musician, or, you know, for the with people who are doing it for their living?
We do have, well, celebrity is a big word. Like we're not going to have Adam Levine come in here. I don't have that kind of pull.
Maybe not today, but you know, in a year or two, you never know.
Gosh, I hope. but we do have local artists from the Atlanta area and from Nashville, that do have radio play and are doing this professionally and making their entire living making music. They will come in. Sometimes I'll have them critique the bands. They'll say, all right, you're going to do a private show today, and they'll play a show and then they'll critique. Sometimes we just do hangouts where I'll pick up some pizza and they'll sit and they'll just talk about whatever they want to talk about from a music perspective. And that's really helpful to the students because it allows them to see that, you can be a suburban dad who's got a house in Woodstock and, you know, 2 kids and a wife, and you can still make enough money to pay for, you know, make your house payment and pay your bills and live the life that you want to live and enjoy doing it. You just have to be smart about how you do it.
Right. There's a way to make this kind of a lifetime, I don't want to say hobby because I don't want to diminish it, but it's something you can incorporate as part of your life. You know, it doesn't matter what level, you're still doing it. And only a handful, you know, win the lottery and become famous and all that stuff. But there's plenty of people making a living or even making money on the side by doing this.
Absolutely. And it's all about being smart from a business perspective. You're not going to make a living if you're playing by yourself in the Mexican restaurant every weekend. You can enjoy that and it can supplement your income, but there are things you have to be doing if you want to make this your full income. And it's possible. And there's a misconception that, you know, all musicians are starving artists. That's not necessarily true. And you will be better at what you do if you're passionate about what you do. Like, I love my job and I'm excited to come to work every day. And I think that's what makes Music Authority better. Because I'm never in the mind frame of, oh God, I have to go to work. It's every morning. It's like, oh great, I get to go to work today. Here's what we're going to do. When you're passionate about music, you can make that living. You just have to really understand the business of it.
Now, if somebody wanted to learn more, get a guitar, get a lesson, be part of the family, what's the website?
We are musicauthorityinc.com.
And then where are you located?
We're in Cumming, Georgia, which is north of Atlanta on 400. We're up here off of exit 14.
So you just
worth the drive no matter where you're coming from.
So just head up 400, exit 14, and which way, left or right?
If you're coming from south of us, you're going to take a left, and then you're going to take a left on the first street, and we're going to be the second shopping center on your right.
Oh, so you're pretty much right off the highway.
Yeah, we're super close to the highway.
Good stuff. Well, Melissa, congratulations on all your success. And it's an amazing story. Thank you for sharing it.
Thank you so much.
All right. This is Lee Cantor. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio. And remember, we could not be sharing these stories without the support of our sponsor, OnPay. So please support them so we can continue to share these important stories.
Today's episode of Atlanta Business Radio is brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com.